Welcome to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, and today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff with the Detroit Lions. Obviously, they re-signed Amon-Ra St. Brown. They re-signed Penei Sewell. What does it mean for the draft? I have thoughts on the two extensions. I think they're brilliant. I'll get to that in a moment. And lastly, when we talk about the NFL draft, obviously with Brad Holmes, this offseason has set it up to where I'm not really going to get angry or upset at the draft, because Brad Holmes' track record has spoke for itself. We'll get to that on the Detroit Lions News Podcast. And you can find this wherever you get your podcasts: Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Podcaster, Samsung app, Amazon Alexa, wherever you get your podcasts. But let's hear the open. Welcome to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. Obviously, you heard what was going to happen in today's episode, so let's just get right to it. The Detroit Lions re-signed Amon-Ra St. Brown to an extension that was it's the highest paid deal in the NFL, but we'll get to why I'm not really worried about it. And they also extended Penei Sewell. So the contract numbers as it stands right now, it's pretty nice. So with Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. There's zero doubt about that. He agreed to a $120 million four-year deal, $77 million guaranteed. It's going to make him the highest paid NFL wide receiver. And I look at this and I say, good luck to the Minnesota Vikings, because the Detroit Lions just signed Amon-Ra St. Brown to a record deal. It's going to be the highest deal in the NFL. So if you're a Viking fan and you're sitting there and you're going, what are we going to pay Justin Jefferson? Like, what are we going to pay Justin Jefferson? It was very, very smart for the Detroit Lions to get ahead of the Justin Jefferson contract. Not saying that Amon-Ra St. Brown is as good as Justin Jefferson. I think they're both different players. And I think it's unfair, the aspersions that St. Brown has got on him, like he's just a slot wide receiver. I think it's actually funny, to be honest. But these deals, they go like this, okay? You don't have to be the best player to get the best deal, to get paid the most money. A lot of times, it's just you were in the right spot at the right time. And for Justin Jefferson, for Ja'Marr Chase, for T. Higgins, they're looking at this and they're going, oh my gosh. CeeDee Lamb as well. There's a lot of wide receivers that saw what Amon-Ra St. Brown got today, and they're very, very happy. Then you fast forward to Penei Sewell, and Penei Sewell, he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league. I don't think that there is any question about how good he's been. He signed to an extension for $112 million, $85 guaranteed, which makes him the highest paid NFL offensive lineman in the league. And all in all, like, it's funny to me, because I feel like a lot of people, they make these assumptions like, oh my God, they overpaid. Under no circumstances did the Detroit Lions overpay for Penei Sewell or Amon-Ra St. Brown. Think of it this way. If you are building a team, you know, it helped that they had Taylor Decker here. It helped that they had Frank Ragnow here. But when the Detroit Lions were rebuilding, when Dan Campbell came to here, Brad Holmes came here, it wasn't that much talent. And they found a guy in Amon-Ra St. Brown late in the NFL draft, a day three pick. They picked Penei Sewell as their first pick, and he's been a stud of an offensive lineman. Now, the reason it makes sense, why does it make sense to pay them now than pay them later? And I read a lot of things online from other fan bases, from NFL writers. There was a few NFL writers I thought were just straight out of touch with reality. But when you look at Penei Sewell's contract, think of it like this. Rashawn Slater is going to get a deal pretty soon. There's more tackles that are going to get deals pretty soon. And getting ahead of those deals and getting him to a contract that in a year, he might be the third highest paid offensive lineman. Like, it's just the right thing to do. And Brad Holmes, this is a brilliant move by Brad Holmes, because not only did he sign St. Brown and Sewell before guys like, you know, Slater got their contracts, Jamar Chase got their contract for wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, you got a guy like T. Higgins, C.D. Lamb, all those guys. He did it before all those guys were signed. Now, obviously, Devontae Smith pretty much set the market for Amon-Ra St. Brown, and they went off that. But a guy like Justin Jefferson is going to reset the market. A guy like Jamar Chase is going to reset the market. You know, these are things that are going to happen over the course of a year. And when you look back at this deal in 3 or 4 years, you're going to be like, wow, this is a total steal for the Detroit Lions, because they have, you know, no matter what anybody wants to cast an aspersion on Amon-Ra St. Brown and say, like, oh, he's a slot wide receiver. He's not a slot wide receiver, but he's a great wide receiver. And I think that a lot of people misjudged that. But when you look at the Detroit Lions, this was a perfect move for their culture. You know, I think culture gets thrown around a lot by a lot of people. A lot of people throw around culture like, oh, this is the culture. This is the culture. When you look at these two guys and you look at Dan Campbell and the way he's built this program, you look at three significant young players that are going to be the culture identifiers that are going to sustain your success into the future. You look at a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, gritty, hard worker. He's always going to outwork you. You look at a guy like Penei Sewell, tough, mean, athletic, tough as hell to beat, and just he's going to wear you down. A guy like Aiden Hutchinson, as soon as he is able to get his deal, he's going to get paid too. And you look at all three of those guys, there's a key identifier in every one of those players. And Brad Holmes has done an impeccable job of getting guys that match that type of intensity. And I know culture can be thrown around, but, you know, when you're a rebuilding club like they were in 2021, you know, we didn't know who Amon-Ra St. Brown was the first 6 weeks of the year. Then he came on. And then, you know, last year, the year before, they went 1-6 to start out, and then they almost made the playoffs. They come back this year. They win 2 playoff games. There's been a steady incline from these players. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sewell. You've seen guys like Hutch get drafted and have a great second year. The culture has pretty much sustained itself. And, you know, you look at guys like Frank Ragnow. You look at guys like Taylor Decker. They were the old part of the culture. Yeah, they did stabilize a young roster. But when you look at it going forward, like, you're not going to be able to pay all the guys that you have. Able to pay. You're not going to be able to pay. Like, I look at this graphic here. This young core that the Detroit Lions have. They have 9 players under 23 or younger. Sewell, McNeil, Laporta, Joseph, Hutchinson, Campbell, Williams, Branch, Gibbs. You're not going to be able to pay every one of those players. Like, it's just not going to happen. So you got to identify at least 3 or 4 players that are going to guide you in the future. And, like, obviously a guy like Sewell, that's a guy that you can base your hope on, that he's going to guide you into the next level of Detroit Lions football. You look at a guy like St. Brown. I mean, if you're Jameson Williams, if you're any wide receiver that comes in that room, you're looking at St. Brown as the leader of the locker room, of that room. Same with Sewell, the offensive line. I mean, I know Frank Ragnow is there, but, you know, there's inklings that he might retire after the season. You hear about Taylor Decker maybe being, you know, close to done, you know, because I imagine that this highest paid offensive lineman is going to move to left tackle eventually. But all in all, like, Brad Holmes has done an amazing job at building this franchise. And he's done an amazing job at just putting this franchise in the best position to succeed, not just right now, but in the long term. Because when you have 3 to 4 players that you could build around, that you could say they are the culture, when young players come into the locker room, they see those guys and they know what to expect. That is crucial. Like, a lot of people don't understand how much that means to a culture, because, like, you could be talented as hell. I take the Dallas Cowboys for an example, okay? The Cowboys are a talented-ass football team. Now, there's no doubt about it. Micah Parsons, Vander Esch, and you know, Deron Bland, and DeMarcus Lawrence, and CeeDee Lamb, and, you know, Jake Ferguson. And there's just something missing there. And you know, it's not the talent. There's a lot of talent there. They should be able to win. The problem is, I don't really think they have the culture ingrained in them. You know, a lot of times you hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, I thought, you know, this guy was going to take the next step. And it never does. And this leadership role is devoid. But I just think that the way that Detroit's building their football team, you know, players are going to come in and they're going to see what St. Brown's about. They're going to see what Hutch is about. They're going to see what Sewell's about. They're going to see, you know, maybe it's Goff. Maybe it's Campbell, Jack Campbell, Brian Branch. They're going to see those guys and they're going to be like, that's how hard I got to work. It doesn't matter what I did in college. I have to work equally as hard. And I believe Jameson Williams in the last half of the year played his best football. And there's a reason for that. I think when you have a guy like St. Brown in your locker room, I think as a young player, you look at that guy and you go, huh, I'm pretty talented. I'm pretty athletic. But why is he always open? What does he do the right way? And you kind of study him and see exactly what he does. And if you're offensive lineman, you're studying Sewell. And if you're a defensive lineman, you're going, okay, what makes Hutch Hutch? Like, what makes him tick? It's obviously the mortar. And there's a lot of players that don't have that elite mortar that Hutch has, you know, or it's Brian Branch or it's Jack Campbell. Like, sustainability is built by young players who grow into that role. Like, I don't think it should be forced on the players, but when you can sustain success in terms of your young players getting to their second contract, players that you want to make the highest paid in the NFL. You know, we're going to be looking at, eventually, we're going to be looking at Hutch is one of the highest paid, Sewell is one of the highest paid, and St. Brown is one of the highest paid, and that's going to be your core. Like, that is going to be your veteran leadership. That's going to be the three people that when people walk into the Detroit Lions locker room, they're going to see those players, and they're going to say, that's what I have to do. That's how we're going to do it. And that's how you build a culture. Because I can remember when, you know, the Red Wings were on their 25-year run of make the playoffs every year, contending for Stanley Cups. It started with Steve Yzerman. It manifested itself into Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Lidstrom. And it went decades before you started to see the wheels fall off. And in the NHL, it's a little bit different rebuilding, so you don't get to rebuild as fast as you do in the NFL or NBA. But you can see that there's obviously considerable difference from where they were to where they are now. Now they're getting better, but when you look at the Lions, like, they got better quick, and that's because the NFL is like that. I mean, you have a good general manager like Brad Holmes, and he's making the right decisions. He's not making any panic decisions. This is what you get. And Brad Holmes has shown, again, that he's an elite-level general manager who's going to make the decisions for his team, and they're only going to get better. But, you know, you look at the way that Brad Holmes is drafted, it's been elite. You look at the way that he signed free agents. I mean, some of his free agents have been bust, but for the most part, he's done a damn good job. Through, you know, you're going on 4 years, and you've already went to an NFC Championship game in this regime. And I think the Bryce is only ahead. You know, when you look at a guy like Penei Sewell and Hutch and Sewell and St. Brown, like, these are guys that you are going to build around, and these are guys that Brad Holmes drafted. You know, St. Brown wasn't a first-round pick. 16 other wide receivers were picked ahead of him. But even then, St. Brown has made this into a reality. Now, in the next segment of the podcast, we're going to be talking about what does this do for the Detroit Lions? Like, what does it do for this team? What does it do for their draft needs? And what will it do throughout the draft in Detroit? And if you're going down to Detroit, let me just put this with you. We will be having an open house at Three Kings in Detroit. It'll be on 1414 Griswold Street in Detroit, Michigan. I want you, if you're a Lions fan, you want to interact with other Lions fans, including me, you can go to that the Three Kings. They're going to have some giveaways, some food, some drinks. It's going to be fun. A good way to get away from the madness of the draft. So stay tuned for that. But in the next segment, we're going to talk about this Detroit Lions team and what the draft is really going to detail. I'm going to give you some of the players that I'm kind of looking forward to. And then obviously we'll kind of hit on some first round. Will they trade back? What's going to be the identification for this Detroit Lions team in this draft? We'll get that on the Detroit Lions News Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapman. Today we're going to be talking about this draft coming up. Obviously, the extensions have happened. St. Brown gets extended. Sewell gets extended. But what does that do for the draft? Because as we sit here right now, we think about the draft and what Brad Holmes could potentially do in the draft. And I look at a guy like Lee McNeil. You know, Lee McNeil is going to be getting a contract soon. And if today's any indication, and in the market, the way it's been with defensive tackles getting paid unbelievably, just crazy, I think it's probably something that the Detroit Lions should look at with a defensive tackle in this draft. And it's interesting because, you know, a guy like Jerzon Newton from Illinois, you know, this is a guy who, if you look at his pass rush grade on Pro Football Focus, 84. Run defense, 77.1, which is green. Pass rush win rate is 15.4. The run stop rate is 7.4. If I'm Brad Holmes and he gets to the 29th pick, I'm taking Jerzon Newton. Because here's the reality of the situation. I know there's people that love Ali McNeil. I love Ali McNeil too. He was one of the top players on this defense. He was a top five defensive tackle up until his injury. He played phenomenal for the Detroit Lions team. But I look at the Detroit Lions, and I can't pay Ali McNeil what he's probably going to command. You know, if Christian Wilkins gets what he gets, I got to imagine Ali McNeil is going to get just as much. Like, if we're going to be totally honest with each other, like, that's the way it is. And I look at a guy like Jerzon Newton from Illinois, and this is some of his stats from 2023. In 2023, he had 8 sacks, 7 hits, 28 hurries, and 2 batted balls. In 2022, he was even better. His sacks were lower, played a little bit less defensive snaps. He had 4 sacks, 19 hits, 36 hurries, and 3 batted passes, and 2021 was his first year starting. Analysis on Jerzon Newton: quick footwork, feet never stop firing, experience an effective stunt loop rusher, motor that never stops, explosive first step. You look at Jerzon Newton, and there's a couple cons to what he is. This is for Pro Football Focus. You can tell he is light, lacks overall flexibility for getting low on a bending rush. High run defense grade comes with more gap shooting, disengaging blocks, and truly holding the line. Top speed is limited in pursuit. He is 6'2", 295, so he's one of your more, you know, agile defensive tackles. And look, you're going to get to the point where, like, we put that graphic up with the best young core. You're not going to be able to pay guys. Like, there's going to be some guys that you can't pay. There's 9 players under 23 in this roster. 9. And you're going to add on it tomorrow. So there's going to be young players that are going to go away. That's just the fact of life. That's the fact that your general manager is really damn good at what he does. And when I look at this Detroit Lions team and I look at Ali McNeil, is he going to be here next year? I don't know. That's something I can't answer. I don't know what he's going to command. I don't know what the market's going to be from. But if there's any indication of what the market could be and where the market was this year, if it's anything near Christian Wilkins, you can't pay him. He's probably going to have to go ahead. And, you know, the Lions made a financial decision with letting Jonah Jackson walk. It's probably going to be the same with Ali McNeil. You know, there's a lot of things that Brad Holmes is going to have on his plate in the coming years. You know, replacing Ragnow, replacing Taylor Decker. These are all things that can happen in this draft, but like you look at the players that they paid today, you look at the players that are coming up for contract renewals. It's a very interesting spot for the Detroit Lions, and I don't put that lightly, but just a great spot for this team because, yeah, getting rid of Ali McNeil would suck. It just would. But the reality of the situation is that you're getting a guy, like, let's say you draft a guy like Jason Newton. You're getting an elite level player that could potentially, you know, he fits in just like Aiden Hutchinson. And that's going to work really, really well with this team. And, you know, that's what you want. And Brad Holmes has done a damn good draft. He's done great drafting. So I don't really worry about his drafting style. I think that he's done a damn good job, and he's going to continue to do a damn good job. But all in all, like, I don't see how you could sit here and say that, you know, they're going to be able to pay Ali McNeil. Like, I just don't see it. But I look at the first round and I go, okay, I know cornerback is a need for the Detroit Lions team, but I think there's a lot of corners that could be had, you know, in the third round, later in the draft. If they decide to trade back, that's an option. But you just got to weigh the pros and the cons. And I think there's a lot of needs that they're going to have over the next couple of years, especially if Ragnow retires, you're going to need a center. There's a lot of ways that Brad Holmes can go. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than Brad Holmes. There's just no way. Brad Holmes has done a damn good job at drafting. And that's just the way it goes. So, but I just think that, like, a guy like Jerzon Newton makes sense. But you can go down the list. You know, Adonai Mitchell, would they go for Adonai Mitchell? I look at Adonai Mitchell, the one thing that I think is going to cut him back in terms of what Brad Holmes likes is his contested catch rates, 36.4. The contested catch is something that Brad Holmes really values. If you look at all the wide receivers he's drafted, the one thing that stands in between those is the contested catches. In this mock draft, on the board at 29 is Jackson Powers Johnson. Again, this is a place that you can go. Jackson Powers Johnson didn't allow a sack in the last 3 years. He's played center. He's played some guard. But he's overall, he played center last year. That was all he played. But in 2022, he played a little bit of guard, a little bit of center, more guard than center. So if you need to put Jackson Powers Johnson in the game, he can play both. And his pass block grade for Pro Football Focus, great. And he didn't give up a sack in all 3 years he was in college. That just tells you how amazing this kid is. So a guy like Jordan Newton could be on the board. A guy like Jackson Powers Johnson could be on the board. And I would be happy with either one of them. You look at a guy like Ladd McConkey or Zach Frazier, Mike Sanristo. Like, these are guys that are on the board that you could potentially go after. And if you do trade back, I mean, you got guys like Adisa Isaac and Brandon Fisk and Jalen Polk and Chris Jenkins and TJ Tampa and Xavier Leggett and Jonah Ellis, who is Luther Ellis's son. There's a lot of ways he can go in this draft. And I think what this draft really helps is, you know, I identify the Detroit Lions' biggest needs as edge, corner, guard, wide receiver, mainly an X wide receiver, in no particular order. So when I say wide receiver, it's in no particular order. I think at some point they're going to have to do that. And if you want to get a guard, I think a Zach Zenner in the later rounds would be really, really good for this team. But I think today's news of the Lions extending Sewell and St. Brown on the cusp of, you know, of doing it with Goff, on the cusp of doing it with Hutch pretty soon. Like, you're going to let go of some really good players, and it's going to suck. But the good thing about this is Brad Holmes has shown the ability to not only get late round picks that actually matter, but it actually make an impact. Like, if you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, right? Who would have thought that Derek Barnes, who was drafted in the sixth round for Purdue, would have made the game-sealing interception? Like, that's just some of the things that Brad Holmes has been able to do. So when I say trust in Brad Holmes, I say Brad Holmes has done a damn good job of what he's done. That's part of the reason. Like, I think the only players that aren't on the roster are seventh-round picks. And for a while, Chase Lucas was on his team. And for a while, Jerry Jacobs, as an undrafted free agent, was on this team. So it's an amazing job by Brad Holmes. In 3 years, you went to the NFC Championship game. Absolutely unbelievable by Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. And they have shown the ability that they can make the most out of the talent that they do have. And I look at this and I go, imagine if you put a guy like Jerzon Newton with DJ Reader and Aleem McNeil for a year. Oh, it could really put it apart. Or, you know, there is a guy who potentially could be available from Cincinnati, Trey Hendrickson, who did spend time with Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell, and he demanded a trade today. Maybe you go that route if you really wanted to go all the way in. It's an interesting comment. But today's news about Sewell and St. Brown, it kind of opens up the floodgates of, okay, they have put the two main pieces of their core out front. Now, who are they going to draft? What are they going to do? They're going to trade back. They're going to trade up. I don't think they trade up, but I think they do trade back, or they stay at 29. But I just think that with the two moves today, it shows the Detroit Lions have an absolute ability to go anywhere in the first round. I mean, in the first round. Like, I there's no position that I'd go, wow, that's crazy. Like, the reality is you're going to need all these guys. Like, you probably can't pay Kirby Joseph. Maybe Kirby Joseph is a guy that you have to let go. You grab a guy like Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. It's an interesting spot to be in. And next on the Detroit Lions News podcast, we're going to talk about Brad Holmes, this team, and what to expect. And I kind of got a unique take, so you're going to want to listen to that as we move forward with the Detroit Lions News podcast. All right, it's time to get to the last part of the show. We'll mostly the last part of the show. We'll have an extra segment, but I think it's crucial as Lions fans that we just got to trust in Brad Holmes. You know, it is what it is with Brad Holmes. He's done a damn good job, and he's had a lot of things work his way. But when you look at Brad Holmes, you look at the way that this roster has turned over. You look at the way and the players that they've extended just recently with St. Brown and Sewell. They're going to have to extend Hutch. There's been an amazing kind of line of delineation with Brad Holmes. And what Brad Holmes does in a draft, it's probably the first time I could say I felt like this for a Detroit Lions team. I mean, I'm just going to be totally honest with you. Like, I don't think if you're a Lions fan, you're like all scared about tomorrow. I mean, if you look at guys like Ifeatu Melifonwu, you look at guys like Derek Barnes, Penei Sewell, Amara St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson, Lee McNeil, Kirby Joseph. Like, he's got production from everywhere. And there's no doubt about it that Brad Holmes is not going to be perfect going down the line. But what you can say about Brad Holmes is that, you know, what he has done with this roster in 3 years is pretty remarkable. And for you to go to the NFC Championship game is pretty remarkable. And I think a lot of people kind of gloss over that. I think a lot of people look at this and they go, okay, this is what Brad Holmes has done, and he's going to continue to do moving forward. And if you're Brad Holmes, you've done a damn good job, and you're just moving forward. You're doing a damn good job, and there's not much that you can really get mad at Brad about. Is it going to be getting mad at Levi Onwuzurike or the wasted pick of Hendon Hooker as of now? We don't know how the future is really going to develop, and we don't know how the future will go with Brad Holmes, but Brad Holmes has done an amazing job at drafting the talent, putting the talented roster together. It's been an amazing time for this Detroit Lions franchise because unlike any time in Detroit Lions franchise history, I think that you could sit here and say that the Detroit Lions are heading in the right direction. And when you're going to the draft, you're not scared. Like, those were some of the things that happened as Detroit Lions fans. I think we're all aware of that. But this Detroit Lions team, they're gonna be a force to be reckoned with for years to come. And it's not just because I'm, obviously a fan of this Detroit Lions team, but you look at this roster, you look at the way that Brad Holmes constructed the contracts to not coincide with each other. Very savvy business move by Brad Holmes. And I look at those things and I say, Brad Holmes is doing a damn good job. And moving forward, there's not much that's going to be the line of delineation in terms of what he's going to be able to do and what he's not able to do and how he's going to put things together. It's been a very, very good time for the Detroit Lions team. So, whatever happens on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't think I'm going to be mad about any of it. I just think that the way that Brad Holmes has ran this football team, the way that he's drafted the talent, the way that he's perfected the roster, there's just no way that I could sit here and say that he's there's no way I'm going to get mad at one of his picks. I mean, I remember when the Mel Fonwu pick, I just didn't understand. And it was great. I remember the Levi Enrique pick, I thought it was going to be great. It's been awful. So why would you trust me? But Brad Holmes has done a damn good job. And Brad, those are players that Brad Holmes has picked. And, you know, Brad Holmes is not going to be perfect for the rest of his general manager tenure. You're just not, that's just not the reality of the situation. But the way that he has put this together, this roster, I think it's very admirable. I think that the future is great with this Detroit Lions team. And I think that if you're a Lions fan, you got to be happy with the way things have gone. And if you are, you know, if you're sitting here doubting Brad Holmes and you're a Lions fan, like, I don't know what you're getting to, because this is what it is. And I heard some people on the radio saying, well, why are we paying St. Brown that much? He's only a slot wide receiver. Why are we paying Sewell? There wasn't much on Sewell, but St. Brown was the one. And it's like, what's amazing to me is that Lions fans have been blessed with a guy like Brad Holmes, and still they are scared to embrace the moment. You know, Brad Holmes, say what you want to say, everything that SOL stood for, everything that SOL was, is dead. It's dead. It's dead. You know, St. Brown, this roster is great. You know, the way the going to the NFC Championship game, winning two playoff games at home, like, this is stuff that it's stuff that you could never imagined. You know, for me, I've always had the hope that the Detroit Lions would be a good team. I thought that, you know, they were only missing a general manager. Like, they had the ownership. I believed in the ownership, but, you know, even Martha, I believe that they had the ownership. I just don't believe they hired the right people. And when I look at a guy like Brad Holmes, this is the guy that you hired to propel your franchise into the next stratosphere. And you're worried about the past. Like, I heard in the comments with the black uniforms, like, oh my God, we're going back to our past. Who cares? The Detroit Lions back then were ran by a boob, Matt Millen. You shouldn't even care about that. But Brad Holmes has shown the ability to put this team on the back, make some big, bold moves, and this team is looking like they're going to be an NFC Championship contender and a Super Bowl contender this coming year. And that's all credit to Brad Holmes. Period. End of story. There's no one else that is more deserved for the kudos than Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. Those are two of the people that should get the most flowers, because they've done a damn good job at assembling this roster, developing this roster, maturing this roster. And if you're sitting there still doubting, I mean, I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. They're 3 years into a rebuild. They've been to an NFC Championship game. They've won two playoff games. Like, and they were rebuilding for sure. For sure. Year one. Year one, they were an absolute gutter franchise. They come back in year two. start 1-6. They barely miss the playoffs. They go on a heater at the end of the year. They come back the next year from the hop. They beat the Super Bowl champion. They go win the division, two playoff games, NFC championship title game. And it's because the guy who built the roster put the right players together. And the guy who is coaching put the right, he matured the roster, he developed the roster. And people can sit here and talk about his game mistakes, but that's what got them there. This is who he is. This is what got them there. So if you change your what got you there because you're trying to appease the fans, you might as well have another guy like Matt Millen. Because Matt Millen was a TV guy, and Matt Millen listened to some people in TV. That was eye-opening to me. But Brad Holmes is doing a damn good job. And no matter what you want to say about Brad Holmes, he's been fantastic. And you look at this roster, you look at the way that Dan Campbell has, you know, developed this roster, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson. It's been an absolute wagon. And the Detroit Lions should be proud of their effort. And this has been a great time for Detroit Lions fans. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to have the pod. Probably tomorrow we'll go live. But for right now, thank you for listening to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. Come to the Three Kings Sports Shop, 1414 Griswold, Detroit, Michigan. It's right around the block from the Lululemon store by Campus Martius. Just there's going to be a watch party for the draft. We're going to have food, drinks, whatever the case may be. I'm going to be doing a live podcast at some point in the evening or in the morning, depending on how things are situated. But we'll get to that. But if you're listening to the podcast, you'll get one on Thursday night, preferably Friday morning. And then you'll get on Friday night, you'll get one Saturday. And then Saturday, you'll get a recap on Sunday. So Sunday and Monday, you'll get a recap. So we will talk more Detroit Lions football. I don't want to really hash out all the prospects. You'll get my mock draft on Detroit Lions News Podcast Facebook page. For the meantime, thank you for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review. And thank you for listening. I totally appreciate it. It's been great to talk football with everyone. And we're going to go on to the draft. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. So thank you for listening. And we will see you next on the Detroit Lions News Podcast.